On this episode of Comedy Rewind, who's had the best career of American Pie's ensemble cast? Will Jason Biggs' character be arrested after the webcam scene? Why can't Jack and I agree on what's fashionable? All of this and more on Comedy Rewind.
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 Push rewind. I thought this was a comedy show.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Comedy Rewind. We are powered by Audio Technica as we rewatch the great comedies of the 1990s. I'm your host, John O'Peck, and joining me to talk all about the 1999 comedy American Pie, you know him as the Cruisinator, Jack Cruise, and our sexy exchange student all the way from the exotic New Zealand, it's Thomas Marshall.
Hello.
Suck me, beautiful.
Such a classic line.
Such a movie.
Oh, it was
classic bad pickup line.
Oh, it was horrible. It was so cringe. So cringe. They call me Nova, you know, like Casanova. Oh, God.
Yeah, that is the worst of the lines. Yeah. But yes, we're talking about American Pie. There's going to be a lot of cringe, I think, as we get through this. Because being a teenager is cringy. And remembering what it was like to be a teenager, also cringy.
Mm. Interestingly, you called it a teen comedy when you introduced. Wikipedia calls it a teen sex comedy, and
yeah,
there's a considerable amount
of
that and or innuendo.
Yeah,
going it's a coming of age movie.
Mm.
It is, yeah. I guess teen comedy. What would be a teen comedy that's not a sex comedy?
Breakfast Club.
10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah,
is there sex in that?
It's Shakespeare.
Yeah, but it's not a sex comedy. It's not a sex comedy, though.
Yeah, okay. I'll take your point. It's a raunchy teen comedy, I would say, in the style of Porky's and whatever came before it. So, it's been 20 years since American Pie. We're closing out the decade here in the 90s, and it feels somehow further away than some of the other movies we've looked at on this podcast so far to me. And I think that's just because it's a movie about teenagers, and teenagers, you know, they're meant to be the ones that are fashionable and hip and everything. So I think there's a lot more stylized choices in this movie that feel more dated than something like maybe Happy Gilmore or Dumb and Dumber. Mm. What was the experience for you guys like? Did you watch this at the movies? Do you remember watching it at some point over the next few years? Like, what's your experience with the film from back in the day?
I can't remember when I first saw it or, like, where, but it would have been, like, rented Video Easy DVD or VHS, like, on the weekend or something. I definitely didn't see it at the movies. But, yeah, it was interesting. I can't even remember when the last time I'd watched it. It would have been a long, probably, you know, 5 maybe plus years since I've seen the movie. But, yeah, it was an interesting experience. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't see it in the movies, and I'm reasonably confident that I would have...
I should hope not. Yeah.
Well, we would have all... Yeah, been, you and I would have been 10. Yeah, and John would have been, like, 12, 13?
Yeah, I was 12.
I'm reasonably 12. Confident it's one of those movies that, like, on a Friday night or Saturday night, we've got family, friends round.
Mm.
All of the kids go and walk to the video shop and pick a video. In fact, what we do is pick 2 videos, one of which being something like Master and Commander, because it's relatively new and we've got the money for it. And the other being, and I don't know why I explicitly remember Master and Commander, but I do because we rented it and I never watched it. And then the other is something like American Pie, and distinctly on that list also was Austin Powers, that was... a movie that was the second one that we didn't tell anybody that we rented, that we actually went and watched instead of the one that we advertised to all of the parents in the lounge. Hey, we're going to go watch this one in somebody's room now. Mm. Bye.
That's classic. That's a classic move there, Tommy Marshall. I reckon I had a similar experience, but it would have been... I definitely had a good few years in high school where I would pretty much hang out with the same couple of guys every weekend. Shout out to Smolzy. He's a friend of the show, dear listener.
Old Smolzy.
And probably we went through a phase where we would just watch movies like constantly, every Friday, every Saturday. Sleepovers, all that stuff. I reckon it would have been some kind of sleepover where maybe it was after American Pie 2 came out and we did like a marathon or something of that ilk. So that's my memory. And just thinking like as a kind of younger teenager, this was like what... I guess we pictured most other teenagers were like, who were a bit more ruckus than us. being the good Christian boys that we were. Yeah, okay. But
sort of been far from reality.
So you were picturing Jack, but you didn't know it.
Yeah, it was Jack before I knew Jack, I guess. So what was it like for you to rewatch it, Tom? I'm guessing you had been quite a few years.
Yeah, so I don't know that I've watched it since that first time. Like, I don't remember having seen it again. Entirely possible I maybe watched it once since then, but it's not a film that's at all on the radar that I'd think about going to rewatch. The first half, I think broadly, was cringe central, and I was and I was laughing at how bad everything was, practically everything, right? And then
do you mean it's a badly acted, like badly put together movie, or do you mean like, oh god, these kids are cringy, like
all of the above?
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, and then I think the second half I must have warmed to it somehow, because I found myself not laughing that the movie exists and that it was bad. I was actually laughing at some of the jokes and the scenes and stuff like that. Yeah. So I ended up really quite enjoying it. Like, I probably won't tell anybody else that I watched American Pie on Wednesday night. Like, I didn't go into work today and be like, oh yeah, I watched American Pie last night. I highly recommend it, or anything of the sort. But
yeah, it's almost like we're watching it with for historical reasons.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It would be a strange thing for a 30-year-old man to just be watching teen raunchy sex comedies just for pure enjoyment. But no judgment, of course. I had a similar feeling where it was particularly the first like 10 or 15 minutes. I felt like it was weirdly edited. And I mentioned this to you in our group chat, like the way that they used music, to me, it struck me like it was just absent until like it's hit a certain point in the movie. And then they started firing on all cylinders with a great soundtrack. Did that hit you as well? Or is it just me?
No, I think it's just you. I was like looking for whatever you had sort of said was coming. And I was like, I didn't see any of it. I didn't pick up on any of that.
Yeah, I think I noticed distinctly at the start there were songs, and when there weren't songs there was nothing, but I don't think I was expecting anything.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was just like it made for some kind of weird transitions between scenes, and scenes that I felt like could have continued where they were, they would cut to like outside the diner to finish the conversation. And it was like it's just one of those small kind of subtle things that I feel like wouldn't happen today, or it would feel a bit more natural. I don't know. It's just something that shows, without really being able to put your finger on it, how filmmaking has progressed since back then.
In 30 years.
Yes.
20 years? 20 years. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So by the end of this movie, I looked at it as a movie about teenage lust that became a movie about teenage love. For all the raunchiness and stuff, by the end of it, I guess the dominating theme was that sex isn't as important as everyone makes it out to be, and the romance and stuff is much more. So that I thought was, that's a nice little message that teenagers need to hear.
Sure. I think also teenagers saw some tits and that was all the movie really needed.
They certainly did.
They did. So $11 million budget for this, made $132 million. Quite a decent box office take.
Not a terrible ROI, is it?
Very good.
And also launched the careers of many stars for the next decade.
Did it though?
It did.
For the next decade. That's a really good
caveat. I'll give you Sean William Scott and maybe Alison Hannigan. Oh yeah, I guess Alison Hannigan, but literally no one else. No one else. Shannon Elizabeth did like Tomcats and Jane Silent Bob, and Chris Klein did some weird rom-com. Tara Reid fell off a cliff. Jason Biggs did Loser.
No. Tara Reid didn't fall off a cliff. She fell off a cliff like 5 or 6 or 7 years after this.
There's somebody that is now in Orange Is the New Black, Claire Tomlin.
Yeah, Natasha Lyonne is having herself a career. She's just done Russian Doll. She's on Orange Is the New Black. When I say it launched a bunch of people, these people have consistently worked for the last 20 years. So that, I think that counts for a lot. You know, they're not like super duper stars, but it was either the debut or it was the breakout for Jason Biggs, Jennifer Coolidge, who plays Stifler's mum, Shannon Elizabeth, Chris Klein, Eugene Levy. I think it brought him to a younger audience. He's probably had the best career out of everyone involved in this. Natasha Lyonne, obviously.
Yeah, he was in the American Pie, the Longer Mile, or whatever it was called.
I'm reasonably
confident.
I think
confident. He's been in all of them.
I was going to say, I'm reasonably confident he's like the consistent feature, even if just as a cameo, like
correct
Band Camp and
yeah.
Alpha House or whatever they are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. You mentioned Tara Reid, Sean William Scott. Mina Savari was in American Beauty just after this in the same year.
True.
So I'll give her some credit. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, after that, which, like, nothing.
Fashion design.
John Cho, thank you. John Cho with the cameo as one of two MILF guys.
Yeah, true.
I saw that.
Yeah, true.
Went on to...
Harold and Kumar. Probably,
it's possible that the guy that did the least has had the best career.
Oh, surely it is. Sure, William Scott, for sure. He's played many a... Had many a starring role.
Well, since we're talking about the cast, we might skip ahead to one of the categories of what have you done for me lately. We've mentioned a few of them. Jason Biggs, obviously, has done not a whole lot of deal, but he has been on Orange is the New Black, which has been a bit of a resurgence for him. Eugene Levy's currently doing Schitt's Creek, which is a great Canadian sitcom.
I watched the first episode and didn't really feel it.
Keep at it.
It's worth it.
I think that you owe it to me to watch a few more episodes.
All right.
If I mean anything to you at all.
Natasha Lyonne was in that Russian Doll, wasn't she?
Yeah, yep. I mentioned that. Sean William Scott apparently is in Lethal Weapon, the show.
They sacked the original guy, and now Sean William Scott's taken his place. Weird.
Chris Klein jumped onto The Flash on CW. Tara Reid has done seven Sharknado movies, so she's getting them paychecks, you know. I'll give her that. And Jennifer Coolidge, a.k.a. Stifler's mum, had a pretty long run on Two Broke Girls. So they're all working, as I said. You know, they're all doing stuff.
Eddie K. Thomas is in that Scorpion show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sean William Scott is not even listed as starring on the Wikipedia article, which I think is kind of fantastic.
It is interesting. He only made $8,000 working on this movie,
really?
And he's pretty much the breakout star if there was one.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's funny going back and watching it and like how little really he's in the movie. And then like, but how much of an impact he has, and then you kind of sort of get that in the second movie because he's one of the main characters in the second movie. Like, he's one of the focal points, and then he's arguably the main character in The Wedding as well.
Yeah, he's essentially the comic relief here. He's just a guy that's there to kind of help expose how uncool these other characters are by comparison. Even though I think the takeaway is that Stifler's not that cool, really. He's just a big jerk.
But what a great... Like, he's almost my favourite part of the movie. Like, he's just hilarious.
His performance is... When we're talking about people who broke out, he's literally, like, breaking out of a shell and just announcing to the world, like, here I am.
I am a character. Do you want this character? I can play this character.
While we're talking cast still, Casey Affleck with the cameo.
Yeah.
He's actually really good. Like, he's got almost nothing to do, but he just nails that, like, slightly older young adult. Mm. And I know slightly more than you about life, and I'm going to talk to you like you're a child.
Yeah. I have no idea who you're talking about.
There's Kevin's brother, when he calls his brother and he's at the bar, he's at the sushi bar, and he gives him the sex book.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. He has a recurring role as well. He's in the second one. I'm not sure if he's in the third one.
I didn't know he was in any of them after that.
Didn't
you?
No, I remember him.
You do know who Casey Affleck is, though, don't you, Tom?
I recognize his face on Wikipedia, and I'm assuming he's an Affleck.
He's won Oscars.
He's
but
Ben Affleck's dad.
Sure.
Anyway, does anyone want to hazard a guess as to the Rotten Tomatoes score for this film?
69.
Ooh, that's a good guess, Jack.
62.
61%.
Ooh,
Jack Cruz.
Close.
Hitting it. So I guess people recognized at the time that it was a movie that...
It was popcorn.
That worked. It hit the target demographic
pretty
well. I guess the box office is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Number one song when the movie released. Does anyone want to guess? We've got 1999.
I'm Blue, Dubba Dee Dubba Die.
No, that would have been... I don't know if that did go to number one, but look, I've got a list of several songs that were number one that year, and I'll take any of them as an
Linkin
answer.
Linkin Park's One Step Closer to the Edge?
No.
What?
Was that 99?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Tom, I think you might have a better chance than Jack at guessing this.
Oh, God.
Think pop.
Aqua's Barbie Girl.
Ooh, no, that was 97 or 96.
Was it?
The correct answer is If You Had My Love by Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
And, I don't even know that song.
If you had my love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know.
I disagree.
Other number one songs of the year, though. Livin' La Vida Loca.
Oh, Ricky.
Wild Wild West.
Well.
Genie in a Bottle. No. Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas.
Oh, cool.
That's a banger.
Yeah, that is a banger.
Baby One More Time and Scrubs.
Huh.
TLC.
A good year for pop music, I'd say.
Yeah. I'd take a Best of 1999 album.
Bloody oath.
Mm. And that's a good segue into what's the most 90s moment. Because one of the, I guess, contenders has to be just the soundtrack in general. Mm. I know that's not a moment, but it's one of the most 90s things. Mm. You know, Harvey Danger, Goldfinger, Bare Naked Ladies, Three Blink. Doors Down, Blink 182, Fatboy Slim, even like, you know, Semi-Charmed Life. It's got everything that was in the zeitgeist for the 90s. And I feel like if you were making a movie now that was set in 1999 or pretty much any time in the 90s, you'd almost be able to use the exact same soundtrack to, with 20 years of hindsight, say, these are the songs that sum up the decade.
Just get that feeling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Bic Runger's Sway, I had no idea that that song was in that movie and was almost like fell off the couch when it started. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
That's a very poignant moment there.
Yeah.
It's the,
yeah.
That's the kind of like Dawson's Creek vibes slipping
in. No doubt. I was almost floored.
So most 90s moments, what do you have?
There was nothing in particular that really jumped out at me, except for just any time they were like around a computer. That for me was...
Which is a fair bit of the time.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, there's a few scenes when they're like sitting at the computer, obviously the strip scene and a few other ones and that. But that was probably... Like, just seeing those types of, like, chat windows and icons and, like, the big fat screen and the webcam and, like, all of that. Yeah. All of that, like, I was like, yeah, that's a 90s thing for sure.
I think there's a reason that you and I are friends, Jack, because the note that I made was that UI on the dating website.
Yes.
It was just absolutely disgusting 90s internet. And, like, if somebody were to look at that nowadays, or like the equivalent is somebody look like Tinder on their phone, right? And somebody looking at that 20 years later going, oh, how did people deal with that? That is disgusting.
Yeah.
Are people in 20 years time going to think the same thing?
Oh, for sure. It'll all be holograms.
No
in
doubt.
20
yeah,
years time.
Maybe that we've got it like beamed into our eyes or something. And it's like, how did people deal with holding a phone? But yeah, that I thought was the most 90s thing, right? Because I didn't quite see a moment that was quintessentially 90s.
I think the 90s internet definitely wasn't as good as they made it look like it was in this movie. Like live webcam feed in 1999, even in America, I feel like it would have chugged a lot more than what they gave us.
Yeah.
A little bit of suspension
of disbelief. I wonder if like AOL or something like that paid to get space and to have like the video feature look even better than it really was. Like,
awesome.
You know how like the companies pay sponsorships to get into movies and stuff like that. Yeah,
you know that people would have gone out and bought webcams after seeing this.
Oh, for sure,
definitely. It's like what the internet can do that.
Yes,
the rise of cyber sex would have skyrocketed.
So another 90s moment I had was the very beginning of the movie where he's watching the cable. I guess it's cable TV and it's like a scrambled adult channel.
Yeah.
And that feels like, something that I definitely remember people talking about or depicted definitely in the media of like the channels and the channels you don't have. And is there a way to kind of get them and you can kind of see what's going on?
Yeah. Also, physical media in general, but physical porn magazines.
Yeah.
His dad went and got them.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I know for a fact that I could go to the dairy across the road from me and pick one up if I wanted to, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I guess people still buy them. I don't
Maybe.
Know.
Maybe. It must be for the articles.
Must be.
Oh, absolutely.
She's reading the articles.
Apparently, Eugene Levy, because he's got a bit of a background in improv, he was making up most of the dialogue as they were flipping through those magazines. Mm. And you can see him, like, you can see Jason Biggs trying not to laugh.
This was shaved. I'm not quite familiar with this one.
Yeah. He's so good as that, like, awkward dad. Mm. I think we all knew a dad, if it wasn't our own dad, a friend's dad or a school teacher or someone that was, like, just that cringy.
Yeah.
And those eyebrows, man.
Yeah.
great. Bangers.
So good.
They're great.
So the most iconic scene. I mean, it's a two-horse race as far as I'm concerned between the pie, the eponymous titular name of the movie scene, the webcam
also
scene.
The titular scene, yes. I guess.
I think it has to be the webcam scene. Like, I thought, like, before watching it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's either one of those two. But then, like, the pie scene's over in, like, 30 seconds, not even. Like, it's done. But the whole sequence of the webcam scene is...
Yes, it's perfectly, like, drawn out.
It is. It's so good.
I feel like...
And so bad at the same
time. Before I watched it, my answer was the webcam... She gets naked in his room scene because that's what I have vividly burned into my memory from being like a 13-year-old watching this movie, right? Mm. But then rewatching it, I was like that pie scene and just the warm apple pie and we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all. It's just like that 10 or 15 seconds is like perfect and that I think that holds up, right? And that is funny, and there's scene could be delivered in a movie today or in 20 years time, right, and still be funny and still be good, whereas we probably and this is like jumping ahead to another thing, right, we probably look at the webcam scene now and like
That's illegal.
That's illegal. That's sexual assault, and so on and so forth. Right?
Highly
like,
illegal.
Yeah. Like you can't do that. She doesn't get deported. You don't go back to school the next day. You go to prison. Is what happens, right? And I don't know if we just didn't understand the internet back then, but
I'm with you 100%. I think we have to jump forward. To what holds up the worst. And let me just say, webcam scene, as far as being iconic, that's kind of the one that I think your mind goes back to. It's despite, you know, Jason Biggs being known or typecast or joked about as the guy that had sex with the pie, the webcam scene is the one that we're going to remember, I think, because of the, you know, the reactions of people. Like, I love it because Blink-182's there as well with a monkey for some reason. And just like Jim running back and forth from the two houses. It's just like, what are you doing? And as well as that kind of visual, I guess the fact that it was probably the first time any of us had seen the internet or the webcam used in such a way in a film. Like, to me, it was like a very much, even though I didn't see it for a couple of years after, knowing that it was a few years older made me think like, this is the beginning of when people could maybe use the internet and what it's capable of for comedy. But yes, completely illegal, sex crime, and I think kids know these days that you cannot do this.
Jailable offence.
I should hope so.
Well, and yet they still do it.
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, to be fair, do kids know that you can't do it nowadays?
I think they know, but they still do it.
It's taught now, though. It's like part of what they do in school, I think.
Really?
Like everything in sex ed, well, not everything, but a lot of it is about consent. And I assume that focuses as well on filming people in the nude and broadcasting it to school.
Sharing nudes.
That's fair. Whether intentionally or unintentionally broadcast to the entire school.
Yes.
How do you screw that up? Oh, no, right. That's right. It's because the UI is so fucking terrible on your email client.
It's funny though. I remember...
People still do it.
This is one of those things. This is similar to like the thought I had about the Happy Gilmore, when we did the Happy Gilmore episode. And around... I was like, when thinking back, I'm like, how the fuck did this old lady owe taxes? And this was similar to this, leading up to this. I'm like, how the fuck did he... broadcasts to the whole school. I'm like, I'm trying to work out how that happens. And then you see it when he's like clicking to who to send it to. He goes Stifler and I think must have been Kevin or Finch or someone. And he clicks that, but it clicks that and the East Lakes directory at the same time. You see him highlight them both, which I'd completely missed in every other viewing of this of there this movie. I had a couple of other things that I thought held up poorly.
Yeah.
I also had the stripping scene in there. I had Jim's hair, like, right at the start. It's just like, it was just so bad. I was like, what is going on here?
When
it's like,
when he brushes it back, he's like, what about this? Or like, laid back Jim. And he brushes it forward. cool. It's funny though, because I knew people with that haircut, and yeah, it makes sense that he would think that there's a subtle difference between the two.
It was so horrible though, especially at the start. I must have got used to it, or the hair and makeup team got better as the movie went on, but it was so bad at the start. And then the other thing that I was like, eh, I feel like that's not as big of a deal as it should have been. Wait, no, it was more of a bigger deal than it should have been. Was the Finch going to the toilet at school scene? Like that I was watching that and I'm like, not that bad. He took a shit, you know, like to be completely like ostracized from the entire school was, I'm like, eh,
like these rumors going around that he's like an absolute god, and all of a sudden he rushes into the wrong bathroom.
I think the girl's bathroom part of it is potentially the reason.
But even still,
you know what kids are like, man. Like, it doesn't take much for kids to tease each other.
I know. But still, even still, I was like, to the man, I was like, yeah, it's not that big of a... I was like, going back to him, I'm like, does he shit his pants in this? Is that the whole... But I'm like, no, he doesn't. Like, if he had to shit his pants, I'm like, oh, yeah, fair enough. Kids shit his pants at school. Like, that's it. Like, your life's over, man. You're not coming back from that.
new school required.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he just went into another girl's bathroom and took a shit. But you know what? I had this in my notes. I sympathize with Finch, with his plight against the public toilet. I very much dislike public toilets. I will avoid them at all costs. And if possible, I'm quite lucky. I spend a lot of my workday on the road, and am oftentimes within vicinity of my home. And I will quite often go home to use the bathroom.
So. Is that for like number ones or
no, I'm fine with peeing.
I think most people are like that. They just don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just like you.
Maybe we're just like each other. And
well, I know, I'm quite happy to use the bathrooms at work, and obviously quite happy to use them at home.
Yes,
most of the time I can wait in between either one of those two places, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but every now and then nature calls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, as far as public, like pure public toilets where any random person can use them, I'm not doing number twos.
What about the bathroom at a restaurant?
Depends how nice it is.
Even then, I'd have to be like desperate. Like,
yeah. Depends how nice it is. A nightclub toilet? No fucking way.
No.
No fucking way.
Yeah, that's a solid no from me.
Yeah.
I would just
shit my pants. I'll just do it.
Also solid.
Or I'd leave the club and go to like somewhere else. Anyway,
Tom, did you have anything else holding up poorly? We have to talk about the fashion. Like,
I thought it was fine. I honestly
really Jim's shirts, baggy shirts with a t-shirt underneath.
I did have the caveat written down. Other than Jim, I thought everyone else was fine. Even with his big baggy pants and the massive shirts, but everyone else was. I was just like, these are just like normal clothes that you would wear today: sneakers, nice fitting jeans, t-shirts. Like, to me, it was fine. To me,
jeans may have been slightly baggier than ones I would wear now.
It was passable. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a skinny jean man, but
Stifler had his share of the bad shirts as well, I thought. And there was a lot of those like sweaters with the kind of like tiny V-neck as well.
The zips as well, shirts with zips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jim had some of those like really big polo shirt collars as well. He's meant to be a dork.
I genuinely didn't notice somehow.
I thought the fashion was... I thought the fashion held up. Okay, I had that in my held up well, other than Jim.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, what about Oz's hair, though?
Yeah, that was...
Like, just the...
Being very parted and, like,
really
long fringe.
And, like, super slick.
That one
back.
Strain that, like, hangs down.
Maybe that was kind of bad.
I thought he looked good. Hell of a rig for a 17-year-old kid as well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it's kind of... It doesn't hold up well that he was somehow unsuccessful with the ladies, because he seemed like... The popular, like he seemed like the non-jerk version of Stifler, essentially. Like,
yes, Stifler does the work or whatever, and he doesn't.
Yeah,
I had something else in my notes, which I guess you could sort of tie into this, was the fact that all of the other lacrosse players on the team, other than Stifler and Oz, looked like 30-year-old men, and there was one lady in the choir team that was at least 40. I was like, what the fuck? How is she in high school?
I missed that. Yeah. I think they got like, I read that, I was doing some research as I do. And as so Chris Klein and Sean William Scott spent a long time learning how to play lacrosse for this movie, because neither of them were athletes, I guess, or lacrosse athletes. And in the end, they just said, let's just use doubles. And they got like, they got stunt doubles for all those scenes. So I wonder if all those 30-year-old men were actual lacrosse players, professionals or something.
I reckon they probably were, because they looked old as fuck. Like, one of them had a beard. I was like,
What do you think about this group of people actually being friends? Because that's another thing where it's like, why is Oz friends with Jim? Like, there's a huge gap between how cool they are as far as high school standards go.
Well, I think they fit together well. And I think it sort of goes back to your other point. Like, I think Oz was probably just like, he's probably a dorky kind of dude as well. He's not very confident with the ladies. Yeah, he's good at sport and that, but he seems to have just developed. And now he plays sport and football and stuff, where he's probably been mates with those guys all the way up. He's just never had an opportunity to get laid. And so I was completely... I had no issue with the group itself. It seemed like a fairly ragtag bunch of fellas. Yeah.
And they're relatively explicit that they don't hang out with Stifler, right? Apart from his parties. Like,
Well, they put up with him to go to the parties. Yeah,
he's not in the friend group. He's
They're like, why do you think we've been friends with Stifler this whole time? They're just like, we're friends with Stifler?
On the topic of Stifler, he's one of the things that, as funny as he is, his behavior and attitudes towards women really don't hold up. Like, he's like slapping them on the bum and he's like,
I'll be back for you later.
I'd like to think that teenagers are a bit more woke than that these days, that they wouldn't like put up with that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But he's like, he's that guy. Like, he's like the dick jock dude. Like,
we all knew someone like that.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what holds up the best? Because we've got some characters, I think, that are fairly timeless in Stifler, Jim's dad, and even Jim himself, and the way that he is so awkward and geeky. Mm-hmm. We obviously know a lot of people like this in our many years of being in the nerd pop culture communities, geek culture communities.
Yeah.
And when he's trying to like talk to the girls at the party, he walks up and he's like laughing and then they just stare at him and he walks off. I feel like that's a kind of a figure that is still pretty common today. Holds up well.
I had Stifler was my number one thing that held up. He was just hilarious. Like, I just love, like, you know, he's bad. He's like the worst human, but he's hilarious. And the fact that he's like, and he has this reoccurring thing through the movies that he gets something like fucked up happen to him, or he drinks the cup with the jizz in it. And like, I was watching and dry reaching. Like, I was like,
I was trying to eat my dinner while that was happening. And just the slow build up and the back and forth of the cup going between them and between them.
I'm thinking about it now and I'm like,
that was amazing. Terrible, but well done.
Apparently they used an egg white for that scene.
It looked convincing. I also had like the fashion, as I said, but the soundtrack, like 100%. Like, I listened to most of those songs often.
Yeah, the soundtrack was the one that I noted down, and I also, while the movie was on, was Googling that, like, looked up the soundtrack and then added it to my Spotify playlist. I was like, this is a great soundtrack. Banger. Like, I will go and listen to this just at any point in time. Mm-hmm. I was like actually looking. So the soundtrack's only got, like, the actual soundtrack has maybe half of the songs that are in the movie and doesn't have a bunch of the good ones. So
yeah,
I might actually just go and create myself a playlist that is.
I'm sure there's one out there with the songs. Full list. Yeah.
Well, the thing was, like, they all got to be like all of the songs from every American Pie ever. And okay. I was like, Maybe if you force me to rewatch like 2 and The Wedding, I'll get into it. But
I had the soundtrack. Like, I got it for Christmas one year, the soundtrack for American Pie Wedding, and it's really, I still have it here somewhere actually. It's really, really good. Like, all great songs. Like Laid is on there, and
Sway by Vic Runger.
Fever for the Flavor. there's a heap of bangers.
When you think that the budget was $11 million, you have to imagine a lot of that went into the licensing for these songs.
Oh, sure.
Well, when you say that Sean William Scott only got $8,000 or whatever, and he was like, he wasn't not in the movie. Like, he was a reasonably substantial role, right?
Yeah, but I guess, like I was saying at the start, like, a lot of these people had never done a film before, or they hadn't broke out into becoming stars, so
yeah,
it must have been a cheap cast. But even you think, like, I don't know what this, like, SAG minimum would be. It feels like it would be more than $8,000.
Just on your point about, like, Stifler being in the movie, and not, another thing I noted, if you really think about it, Finch is hardly in the movie at all. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really not, like, he's hardly ever with them at school. He's always just off on his own. Like, he's barely in it. Like, he's really only in it at the start and then at the end. Like, if you think about it, like, he has the shitting scene. He's at the end with Stifler's mum, and then he's at the start.
He's scattered through the conversations when they're, like, making their pact, and he's drinking his coffee and he's rocking up on his scooter.
Yeah. But he's rarely in it. Like, it's mainly those other three that it centers around. Like, and they're sort of, you know, Kevin with Tara Reid, Oz with Heather.
Mina Savary.
And Jim just with his shenanigans. But Finch is just kind of, like, in the periphery the whole time, getting the rumors and that.
On the topic of those characters, Jack, I think the conversations that happen between them as, like, angsty teenagers hold up really well, too. Mm. Like, there's something about them that feels really authentic, whether it's, like, talking about their girl troubles or, like, just measuring up against each other and the things that they argue about. I thought that really was it rang true to me. And it's interesting you bring up fashion because we disagreed. I had that on my worst, and the same thing happened on the Happy Gilmore episode where we were adults too. Yeah.
It says a lot about your and I's fashion taste.
We'll have to settle this one day, see who's... One of us is clearly very fashionable and the other is completely unfashionable. I think I might know who it is.
But... I'm fashionable and you are unfashionable. That is the answer to that question.
Anyway, who would be the most offended if this movie came out today?
Oh, God. I guess everyone should be. Like,
really. I had the same thing. I had everyone because the easy thing to say is women, but it should be anyone that respects women, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Uses the internet.
Decent humans. But really, it's just like, and I thought about this a lot. It's really just that one scene. Yep. Like, I guess you could talk about, like, oh, they're objectifying women because they're trying to have sex and all that. But I think it's just, they're just horny teenagers who are trying to get laid and can sympathize. Was in that situation once upon a time. And I think a lot of, like, young men are in that, like, when you're like a hormonal teenager going through puberty and you're in high school and there's lots of pressures to do those things, like, that's a normal thing. Definitely the webcam scene is extremely problematic, highly illegal, and would absolutely offend
anyone.
But yeah, like, the rest of it, like, their pursuit for sex, it's kind of like, I was absolutely fine with it. Like, it didn't bother me at all. Like, I'm just like, yeah, like, they weren't really like, I mean, I guess Oz was kind of being manipulative and I guess Kevin to an extent, but it was his girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with that is, like I mentioned at the start, like, it starts out as a movie about some guys that are obsessed with sex, but they kind of learn along the way that, you know, women aren't just there for that and that it's not the most important thing and you can't judge a book by its cover with, like, Alison Hannigan's character and so many, I guess, they all, like, learned their separate lesson about women along the way. Even Oz, the way that he kind of put this woman's feelings ahead of what he thought was, like, the natural thing to do.
One other thing, actually, that I picked up on this time around, I remember watching this back in the day and being like, ah, man, it's kind of like anticlimactic. Like, they all have sex except Oz. That's so weird. But on rewatch, he totally has sex. And at the end, he's like respectable. And he's like, nah, I didn't. Like, and he just keeps it to himself. I was like, that's really cool.
But did he?
Yeah, no, they 100% had sex.
Or did they maybe just lie down together? No.
They were explicitly like, they were naked. He was on top of her and they were doing the... movements. Like, they were... Okay. I remember, like, watching that as a kid and being like, oh, but they were naked and he didn't tell his friends. But I think that was meant to... Like, that was intentional in that he did actually have sex, but he was just like, I don't need to tell them. Like, that's between me and her. I really love her. Like, and that was, you know, that was just being with classy. Her was enough. He didn't need to come back and be like, yeah, I did it. Yeah, it was. It was really classy. And I dug that. I thought that was cool.
Let's move on to how this movie passes or fails the internet relevancy test. I'm trying to think of some memes and gifs that are common from this movie. I can't really think of any, like, ubiquitous ones, if there is such thing. But I guess God Bless the Internet is a nice little screen grab as they're watching their highly illegal webcam feed.
No, there was nothing that really jumped out at me. It was like, oh, I remember that, or anything like that. It was,
I think the excuse me one comes up sometimes as well. Like, you could search for an excuse me, and where he like spits his drink back out or whatever, and looks back at, with the flute and the band camp and all that. That's a thing that I've definitely seen before. But
okay. So would smartphones and social media ruin American Pie, or how would they change it? I guess
I don't think at all. Like not at all really. Like, it's kind of just, I mean, I could just imagine them being used as like the, like they would just be a, you know, a joke thing. Like, I guess them taking photos of girls at some point, I don't know, or taking a video of Finch as he comes out of the girl's bathroom, but it wouldn't impact the movie at all. It would just be like a prop.
I think the dating apps would play way more of a role in a movie like this these days.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a bit easier for people like this to find hookups if that's really all they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that someone like Nadia, when the entire school is watching, would probably have at least one friend that's able to like call her and say,
know what's going "Hey, on.
Yeah.
you're on camera. Maybe don't do that." And I think also just like the whole cyberbullying aspect would be like way bigger. Like, Jim goes back to school the next day and everyone's laughing at him. I feel like you just would have to move cities or something these days after an incident that bad.
Arguably, that was probably bad enough for him to have done.
Yeah. But
because we didn't deal with the fallout of that entire scene in the movie.
There's no consequences whatsoever.
It just ends. It's like cut to black, and then the next day he's at school.
Yeah.
He's getting laughed at, but
Yeah, there's no like principal coming up and being like, "You come with me, like you're done."
It would be different, right? But I don't imagine, like, because we had cell phones growing up, not smartphones, but it was still like, here's a different way to be talking to people or whatever. But you were still an absolute doofus when you were trying to do it face to face. And things still went horribly wrong because you had no idea what you were doing, regardless of having a smartphone or like it being periscoped as opposed to AOL videoed or something. You can easily imagine it's just a brand that you know now and all the same things happen as opposed to entirely different.
Yeah, I think Facebook Live would definitely be a big part of the modern day version of this. So what would who would you cast to make a new version of this, or could you even make the same kind of movie these days, and what would it look like?
I feel like this movie gets made all the time.
Like every 18 months there's a new version of this movie.
Sex Drive was one recently, like
Superbad, essentially Superbad, the same thing.
Good film. This movie gets made all the time. It's a great film. When are we doing mid-noughties rewind, Jono?
Maybe in like 2 years.
Movies that you wagged school to go and see with your friends.
I never did that.
I did.
To your point, to your question, I think this movie gets made all the time.
Yeah.
Just differently.
It's definitely a genre that kind of, I mean, it doesn't just write itself, but there is like the version of it that's right for that particular time. So I don't know if you can make it exactly the same every year, but it's like the era kind of dictates the difference between, you know, for example, Porky's to American Pie to Superbad. They're all a product of their time. They're all essentially the same idea, a bunch of guys trying to get with girls. But they're also all like a product of the style of filmmaking. So that's like, I guess, the main difference between Superbad and something like American Pie. What do you think it would look like these days to make this kind of movie?
It'd probably be a lot more, probably like, it'd be a lot more romantic. It'd definitely have to star Tom Holland.
I also thought of Tom Holland for some reason.
Only because I don't know any other young actors at the moment.
What does Sean William Scott look like nowadays? He could probably just be still.
He looks like Sean William Scott. He just looks like he's had a heap of Botox and his eyes are a bit more squinty. That's pretty much it. He looks the same. It's a good question. I don't know what it looks like today, mainly because I'm not like in that.
You're not in that world.
Anymore. But like, I think when American Pie came out, and we're like, oh wow, that's what like being a teenager is like. And it was kind of like watching it, I was like, it's not that far from what like school and life and all that kind of stuff was really like. And then like Superbad, very similar without all of the crazy shenanigans and the all the stuff that happens in that, but very similar, like going to parties, getting like trying to get drinks to impress girls and fake IDs and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's very similar, like it's very realistic, other than obviously the crazy stuff that happened.
I think the TV show on Netflix, Sex Education, probably a good example of like the style that it would be in these days.
That's my answer.
It's a really smartly written version of this in some ways.
Yeah,
where you've got characters that I think they try to probably broach the tropes a bit more than maybe they did with American Pie.
Great show.
Gillian Anderson.
I need to watch that.
It's fantastic.
Useless trivia. So this movie popularized the term MILF with the many references to it.
They said it enough times, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it launched the career of John Cho.
Yeah.
The Steve Buscemi Sparkplug Award. We've got a few nominees. Eugene Levy is in enough scenes, I think, to be the kind of the show stealer. Stifler's mum's got a very brief part in the movie, and she's quite good. And John Cho, I just love John Cho, so I had to give him a nomination too. Who do you guys think takes this one? Or is there someone I've forgotten?
You know, you could give a nod to Casey Affleck as well.
Yeah, I have him kind of in parentheses.
But... yeah, I mean, I think Eugene Levy's probably in it too much for me to be considered this like as a cameo. So I'd probably have to give it to Stifler's mum, just because she's only in the one scene, and she has that. She's, you know, it's quite impactful for the whole series, even.
She's got a lot of presence, yeah.
Absolutely. But not so much like, I think Eugene Levy's in it. He's in it a lot more than for him to be considered.
Almost said too much. He's definitely not in it too much, but but too much for consideration, maybe.
Correct. For the category, that's what I mean. I mean, in terms of being like the spark plug, I think every time he's on there, it's always a scene you got to pay attention to because he's so good. But
I mean, you could almost give it to Stifler then.
Yeah, and like that's another point where I guess Stifler's not in that many scenes substantially. Like he's kind of, he's got his one liner and then he's done, basically. That happens many times. But yeah, for your original point, I'll give it to Stifler's mum. And I assume we won't have any objections from Tom.
Nah.
So finally, is this still a good movie?
Absolutely. I loved it. I loved it from start to finish. Like, I was laughing. I was watching it on my iPad, and I was in bed, and Sal kept telling me to shut up because I was laughing so much. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it held up absolutely fine. Obviously, other than the problematic scene we've spoken about, it was relatable. Like, it reminded me what it was like to be a teenager and being in high school, and it wasn't, like, outlandish, and it didn't feel like it was in its, like, own, like, it's like watching Happy Gilmore. Like, if I'm thinking about this in contrast to watching Happy Gilmore, and we obviously did this show on that, that felt like it was in its own sort of universe on its own. Like, it wasn't in our world, it was kind of in its own world. This felt like it was in like our world, and it made sense, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Wow. You've lived through that experience, right? And you haven't lived through the experience of becoming a professional golf player.
Not yet. So it's still time. It's still time.
Not yet.
Never will you.
It's interesting because even though it came out in 99 and we weren't teenagers until a few years later, I think like the real world is always a few years behind the trends of like Hollywood and whatever. So as much as we were at the start of our high school instead of the end, we could kind of look at this and live it out. As you said, Jack, in the present, we could be like, oh, this is just like American Pie or like the stories that you're hearing people tell at school or whatever. It's like very relatable. And I think that it's kind of a timeless thing. Like, guys are always, throughout the history of time, trying to get with girls, naturally. Or guys, you know.
Trying to get laid.
It's meaning a life.
Just trying to, like, explore sexuality and stuff. And
find themselves.
I said at the start of the movie, I'm a good Christian, so the equivalent for me was, like, just trying to, like, get a girlfriend or someone that would, like, actually hang out with me, you know.
Hold hands and shit.
Yeah, hold hands.
That warm palm that sweat.
Hand-holding action. So I think as far as is it a good movie, I had that it's fine. I didn't think that it was great. I thought it was pretty good.
Fine, not great, pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I landed on.
That's a reasonable analysis, right? It's certainly not fantastic, and I'm not going to go and watch it again next week or maybe anytime ever again in the future, but I will continue to look back fondly and be like,
yeah
I enjoyed my 90 minutes with that the first time, and I enjoyed my 90 minutes with it 20 or probably 15 years later.
I mean, it's something that maybe I would watch in 15 or 20 years in the future as kind of a timestamp of what it was like in 1999. And it's a really good kind of point of reference because it has those scenes with the webcam and the internet and the fashion and everything. I think that it is. And obviously the soundtrack, as we mentioned, such a good time capsule.
I genuinely didn't even notice this whole fashion thing that you've mentioned a few times each now. I'm just like, oh.
I'll send you some screenshots. You'll be like, yeah.
I might have just some kind of, mind-bending moment of, oh, God.
I don't think that it's at that level of like Superbad where you could actually just want to rewatch it because it's a purely great and funny movie. I think it is more that novelty of being from a certain point that makes you want to go back to it. But anyway, that is Comedy Rewind with Tom and Jack and American Pie
and Jono
and myself. You can find me on Twitter at Jono himself. Tom is at TomDaBomb89. Cruzy, Jack Cruz, the Cruisinator. We didn't even mention the Shermanator.
The Shermanator.
We didn't. I was thinking about the Cruisinator at the start. I was like, yeah, we mentioned it.
Yeah. At Cruzy_mate on Twitter. Give us a follow. Tell us what you thought of American Pie. Hit us with your favorite GIF or meme from the movie, if there is one out there. iTunes reviews, as always, go a long way to helping out the show, getting the word out there. So if you enjoyed the episode, please drop us one of those 5-star ratings. Join us on the next episode for Wayne's World. We're going to be looking at that with our friend Logan Wilkinson from Irrational Passions.
Party on, Wayne.
Dear listeners, thank you for joining us on Comedy Rewind. Be kind.
Bye.
Suck me, beautiful.